Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to 9 Archery's podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, Big Kids, Bigger Feelings by Alyssa Blass Campbell, co-authored with Rachel Stewart Lounder, is a practical parenting guide focused on the elementary school years, roughly ages 5 to 12, rather than treating this stage as a calm break after toddlerhood. The book argues that school-age kids often face a new set of emotional and behavioral pressures that can show up as defiance, meltdowns, and anxiety. The authors aim to help caregivers interpret these moments as signals of stress, unmet needs, or lagging skills, not simply bad attitude or manipulation. Blending accessible brain and nervous system concepts with real-world parenting scenarios, the book emphasizes staying connected while setting limits. A central feature is the collaborative emotion processing method, a relationship-centered approach designed to help adults guide children through emotions instead of trying to shut them down or control them. The overall purpose is to equip parents and educators with concrete language, routines, and strategies that build regulation, trust, and resilience over time. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, reframing the elementary years as a high-change emotional stage. A major contribution of the book is its insistence that ages 5 to 12 are not the easy years many families expect. School introduces daily performance demands, complex peer dynamics, and stronger exposure to comparison, while children are also developing a bigger inner world and a stronger need for autonomy. Those developmental shifts can create emotional whiplash, where a child looks mature in one moment and overwhelmed in the next. The authors encourage adults to treat this inconsistency as normal development rather than proof that a child is being difficult on purpose. This reframing matters because it changes the parenting goal from winning compliance to understanding what is driving the behavior. When defiance or a sudden meltdown is seen as a stress response, caregivers are more likely to respond with calm limits and supportive coaching instead of punishment or lectures. The book also highlights that kids in this age range may mask stress at school and release it at home, which can confuse parents. Understanding the stage helps caregivers anticipate blow-ups, reduce shame, and choose strategies that fit the child's developmental reality. Secondly, collaborative emotion processing as a connection-first approach. The book introduces collaborative emotion processing, a framework intended to help adults work with children during emotional moments rather than treating feelings as obstacles to fix quickly. The core idea is collaboration. The adult stays emotionally steady, makes space for the child's experience, and guides the child toward understanding what is happening inside their body and mind. Instead of demanding immediate rational explanations, the caregiver focuses on safety, connection, and clear boundaries. Collaboration does not mean permissiveness. It means the adult leads without turning the interaction into a power struggle. In practice, this approach emphasizes noticing early cues of escalation, naming emotions in a non-judgmental way, and helping the child move from overwhelmed to problem-solving when they are ready. By returning to connection, the method aims to preserve trust, especially during moments when children are most likely to feel misunderstood. Over time, repeated emotionally attuned interactions can help children build vocabulary for feelings, recognize triggers, and internalize skills for managing conflict. The book positions CEP as a usable method for families, and also as something applicable in educational settings where adults support group behavior and individual needs. Thirdly, nervous system regulation beneath meltdowns and defiance. A recurring theme is that many big kid behavior explosions are rooted in nervous system dysregulation, not a lack of morals or respect. The authors translate basic brain science into parent-friendly concepts. When a child is flooded by stress, their ability to reason, listen, and cooperate decreases. That is why logical arguments, threats, or long explanations often fail mid-meltdown. The book encourages caregivers to prioritize regulation before instruction, meaning the first job is to help the child return to a steadier state and only then discuss choices or consequences. Regulation strategies are presented as everyday supports, not emergency tricks. Families are guided to look for patterns in when blow-ups happen and to consider the role of overstimulation, transitions, hunger, fatigue, and social stress. The emphasis on nervous system awareness also supports a less blaming stance toward both child and parent. Instead of labeling a child as oppositional, caregivers can ask what load the child is carrying and what skills or supports are missing. This lens promotes empathy while still allowing adults to hold firm limits, because boundaries can be delivered calmly without escalating the child's threat response. Fourthly, meeting basic needs and designing environments that reduce overwhelm beyond in-the-moment scripts. The book stresses prevention through realistic support of children's bodies and schedules. It highlights that food, sleep, downtime, and predictable routines strongly affect emotional tolerance in school-aged kids. When these basics are neglected, children have less capacity for frustration, transitions, and social problem-solving, making defiance and tears more likely. the authors encourage caregivers to think like investigators, identify recurring times of day when conflict spikes, and assess whether the child is running on empty. They also point to the importance of environment, including pacing, expectations, and sensory load, especially for kids who are more sensitive or anxious. This approach helps families move away from constant discipline and towards systems that make success more likely. Small adjustments like earlier snacks, calmer mornings, buffer time after school, or reduced multitasking can lower baseline stress and improve cooperation without turning the home into a negotiation zone. The broader message is that parenting strategies work best when the child's capacity is supported. By treating regulation as something built into daily life, not reserved for crisis, caregivers create conditions where emotional skills can grow steadily. Lastly, talking about big topics with openness and safety, the book also addresses the expanding world of elementary-age children, including puberty and body changes, technology exposure, and sensitive conversations about sex and safety. Rather than waiting for a perfect moment, the authors advocate for age-appropriate openness that normalizes curiosity and reduces secrecy. The argument is practical when children learn that adults can handle questions without panic or shame. They are more likely to seek help later when situations become more complex or risky. This stance fits the connection-based theme of the book. Open communication is treated as an emotional skill and a protective factor, not just a moral value. It requires caregivers to manage their own discomfort, use clear and simple language, and keep conversations ongoing rather than one-time lectures. The same collaborative mindset used for meltdowns is applied here: listen first, validate feelings, correct misinformation calmly, and keep the relationship strong. For many families, these topics trigger control-based impulses, but the book frames guidance as most effective when children feel safe telling the truth. By building trust early, caregivers can set boundaries around media and behavior while keeping children engaged rather than fearful or defensive. In conclusion, Big Kids, Bigger Feelings is best suited for parents, caregivers, and educators who feel surprised by how intense the elementary years can be, especially when a child seems mature one minute and overwhelmed the next. It will resonate with families dealing with recurring defiance, shutdowns, after-school meltdowns, or anxiety, and who want tools that protect the relationship while still maintaining limits. The practical benefit is a clearer map for what to do before, during, and after difficult moments, with an emphasis on regulation, communication, and collaboration rather than punishment-driven behavior management. Intellectually, the book offers a cohesive way to interpret behavior through development and nervous system states, which can reduce blame and increase problem-solving. Compared with many parenting books that focus heavily on either toddlers or teens, this one stands out by targeting ages 5 to 12 and treating that span as its own distinct stage with unique pressures like peer dynamics and growing independence. It also distinguishes itself by tying everyday strategies to connection and nervous system awareness, helping adults respond to big behavior with steadiness and empathy. Readers looking for a compassionate, structured framework and usable language will likely find it a strong fit. If you would like to support Alyssa Blass Campbell, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.